Second down, 30, going deep. And he's got his receiver, Adams. Slicing in for the touchdown.
Pulse of the Pack Podcast.
Play in big running room. And headed to the end zone is Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones.
Give that man the ball.
Pulse of the Pack Podcast.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
2019 NFC North Division Champion. The Green Bay Packers went into U.S. Bank Stadium, that bird-killing garbage box that the world's worst team plays in, and won 23-10 after some moron picked them to lose 27-7. So I apologize for that. I am that idiot. I am here fully ready to eat crow after the Packers win the NFC North, which they did tonight over the Minnesota Vikings. I am your host this evening. I am Jacob Westendorf. I am fired the hell up. I just spent way too much money on an NFC North Division Champions hat, which will not be here until early January because that's how they ship things. I'm drunk on emotion, and I'm happy as all can be right now because I hate the Minnesota Vikings. And I'm joined by Jason Krohn, who I assume has a very similar feeling towards that garbage team from north of the Wisconsin border that thought they had a chance to win. Passive-aggressively point out all season how Green Bay can only win because of the official or the other stupid crap that spew out of their passive-aggressive don't you know's mouth. So the accent or not that I just did, I don't even care. Jason Perrone's here. I should shut up before I say something else that's stupid. Jason, how are we doing?
Man, how'd the game go? I didn't watch any of it.
Yeah, right.
We are, well, first of all, I have to tell you what, I'm going to give you the Vikings being the worst team in the NFL this week because normally I would say it's a different team, but that team gets a pass this week because that team beat your Seattle Seahawks, not yours, Jacob.
But hell no, not
beat the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday, which kept the Packers in play for the one of the two seed pending the outcome tonight, which turned out very well. Now, I predicted a 23-21 Packers loss. I did get the 23 points correct, so I'm not Nostradamus. Kill me. But, yeah, the Packers exercised a huge demon. Aaron Rodgers, despite not playing his best game, did enough to keep the Packers offense moving. There was another guy on offense that probably did a little bit more. And they overcame three turnovers in the first half. I mean, the odds, you know, like the league has become such a statistical-driven thing. Was there anything on the screen? Because I watched the TV copy on the ESPN. But was there any, like, win probability based on the fact that the Packers had turned it over three times? Or anything like that?
Yeah, if there was, I didn't see it. But I can tell you, as soon as, I think Adams. Because it was Jones fumble, Rodgers pick, Adams fumble. And after that, I looked right at my brother. I said, -3. This is a team that doesn't turn the ball over. And they're -3 in the first half on the road, in a personal hellhole that they've never won in ever, or frankly, that we talked about this on Saturday, whatever the hell day it was, they've never played well in that.
Right.
And now they're -3 in the turnover margin. So let's jump right in. This game could not have started any more disastrous. The formula this year to date for the Packers has been to jump ahead, fast start, hold them off late. Well, that went down the toilet on a third play from scrimmage, where the Packers gift the Vikings the ball on an Aaron Jones fumble, and the Vikings set up shop first and goal inside the 10-yard line. Kirk Cousins does what Kirk Cousins does. He doesn't score any points. They end up kicking a field goal, which at the time feels like a huge win. Like, I have already conceded the point. This game is probably starting 7-0. They need to get a first down to score 7 points, and they couldn't manage that. And it was a huge stop early in the game. I can't emphasize that enough.
Defense.
How and the defense is really where it starts. Jason, one of the big things that I think I overlooked and I probably shouldn't have was just the fact of how big of an advantage the Packers have in the trenches, honestly, on both sides of the ball, because being a stalemate against their defensive line is a win, especially on that track, which is what I thought it was for most of the night. Protection was pretty good for the most part throughout the evening. And on the defensive side of the ball, not a Pro Bowler, Za'Darius Smith. I'm running out of superlatives for this guy, man. I mean, it would have been enough for him to come in, change the defensive culture, have like 8.5 sacks, and be a pretty good player for us to be like, oh, yeah, that contract was worth it. This guy is a fucking pro. No questions asked. All pro. He was dominant tonight. The best player on the field for the Green Bay Packers. The best player on the field, period. He is the Packers' best player right now. Take Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, Kenny Clark. Name them all. 55 is your best player, guy. I'm not going to call him the face of the franchise or anything like that because that very clearly is something that is still Aaron Rodgers. There's a lot of things that go into that. Za'Darius Smith, not a Pro Bowler, Za'Darius Smith is your best player tonight. Jason, it's World War Z, baby, and Kirk Cousins is just another victim.
Man, Kirk Cousins was victimized a lot. 3.5 sacks tonight. So when you read game balls and lame calls tomorrow, you will definitely see Za'Darius Smith's name. He now has 13.5 on the season. So if he gets 1.5 next week, he hits the 15 mark. Preston Smith is in double digits. Those two together worth every penny. This defense came to play. They came to play big time. And I'll tell you one thing that I saw that doesn't mean anything to anybody else. I joked with you before the game. They show the clip of the Packers walking in, and not a single one of them had a smile on their face.
Nope.
It was all business on their on their faces from the very beginning. And one of the reasons why I think that's the case is because guys like Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, Adrian Amos, you know, the Aaron Rodgers, these guys have been in the playoffs before, and they know what's in front of them, and they understood, look, these next 60 minutes of football that we're about to play are potentially going to become – some of the most important minutes of football we're ever going to play. Because if the Packers do something unthinkably special this season, you're going to point to this game. You point to this game as when it really kicked in and said, and they said, okay, the Packers really can't overcome all the bullshit. Because it was bad. I mean, the first turnover, Eric Kendricks was all over the place, and there are certain guys that you love to hate. Eric Kendricks is not one of those guys. I'm a huge Eric Kendricks fan. I wanted him in Green Bay the year that he came out.
Yep.
And he is a phenomenal player. And there is no doubt the Packers caught yet another break. This is a season of breaks that has been unbelievable for Green Bay between the health and some of the things that they've avoided having to face. There was no Dalvin Cook on offense tonight. They lose Eric Kendricks early on. Eric Kendricks was wrecking everything. And then he goes out and couldn't finish the game. Anthony Barr has cramps. He has to go out and can't finish the game. You know, the Vikings had a couple guys get dinged up. The Packers, once again, seemingly, I wasn't listening to the audio because, frankly, and I'm not trying to pile on here, but I literally cannot do the Monday Night Football, the TV team. So I turned the volume all the way down, and I essentially kind of just did my own play-by-play in my head because I couldn't do it. So I didn't hear if the Packers had any major injuries, but they are rolling. They're rolling on defense, and you're seeing – a step ahead, and you're getting some really good experience now for Kevin King, Jair Alexander, Darnell Savage, who aren't necessarily coming up with big plays. Jair Alexander is becoming an interesting case because I think we expected a lot out of him, and he's not met those expectations this season based on what he did last year and what we thought he was going to do this year. He allowed Stephon Diggs. Now, Stephon Diggs would make a lot of defensive backs look silly, but he allowed Stephon Diggs a free enough release that he was able to just kind of run the fade and scamper into the end zone for what would be the Vikings' only touchdown of the night. Not a great look there, and something that I want to see Jair improve on. And I do hope that he becomes a Pro Bowl corner, but he's kind of buried himself a little bit this season. The defense, though, not to take anything away, because in every single phase, even Blake Martinez, blowing up screens, Kyler Fackrell, everywhere, you know, everybody played a part tonight. It was literally every single guy who dressed showed up to play. This team, I don't care what anybody says right now. You said you wanted the emotion, Jake. This team is ready for the playoffs. There's absolutely no question about it.
Yeah, I mean, that was something where talking to my brother before he left, and you know, when's the last time the Packers won a game that it was like, man, I really don't know how they're going to win that one? A tough road game against a team that equal or as talented or better than they are, which the Vikings, I think it's fair to say, are. Excuse me, getting choked up thinking about it here.
Woo!
Something, I mean, it does need to be pointed out. Dalvin Cook did not play tonight. Alexander Mattison did not play tonight. At the same time, the Vikings picked up 7 first downs. I mean, that is a dominant performance by the Packers defense. Does Dalvin Cook make a difference? Absolutely. Does it matter when Kenny Clark and Za'Darius and Preston and Rashawn Gary and Kyler Fackrell and all these dudes eating their quarterback? No, it doesn't. I don't think, at least. And that's what I was talking about earlier, was that I think I overlooked just how big of an advantage the Packers have in the trenches against the Vikings offensive line, which is terrible. They were so bad. The Vikings had a touchdown wiped out because Riley Reiff, their $54 million tackle, got beat by Kyler Fackrell, who is the Packers' third, at best, edge rusher right now. It was crazy. It was awesome. To me, it was far and away the Packers' most dominant defensive performance. And to me, it was dominance all around. I know the offense, it's not like they scored 40, and I don't know that they will. And you know what? The Vikings have a good defense, especially in that building, but they did enough to, it wasn't as, even with the turnovers, just wasn't as choppy. They weren't going three and out. I said something to Adam at halftime about how, you know, a positive out of this is, yes, Green Bay only has 9 points right now, but they are controlling the time of possession. And that's something you could see on the late Aaron Jones touchdown run, where the Vikings defense kind of looks winded. And that's kind of what happens is when a good defense gets winded, they get gashed. And that's what happened. Green Bay was dominant in this game, not from start to finish. It wasn't wire to wire. You know, it wasn't 48-3 or anything like that either. Let's not oversell it from that regard. But they gave up seven first downs. The Vikings, all 10 of Minnesota's points were gift wrapped. I can't emphasize that enough. They scored 3 points because they were handed a ball in field goal range, and they scored a touchdown. You mentioned it. Stephon Diggs, great route. Alexander misplayed him at the line of scrimmage and then kind of panicked in his recovery. Okay. Other than that, I came into tonight for fantasy football needing Mike Boone and Adam Thielen to score 50 points between them. I have no idea. I'm looking right now. I have no idea what they ended up getting to. They scored a grand total of 3 points. Adam Thielen had a goose egg, zero, and Mike Boone had three. So I did not win my fantasy football championship, but I do not give a damn at all because the Packers defense was dominant. Not needing turnovers, not relying on turnover. They didn't give up. They got one. They were minus two in the turnovers, but they got one. They didn't allow the Vikings to move up and down the field and then stiffen up in the red zone. They didn't allow the Vikings to move the ball at all. The Vikings had seven first downs. That's incredible. That is dominant defense. I don't even know what else to say. I mean, the superlatives, I've run out of them.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jake, here's the thing. And, you know, maybe we transition to the offense based on this here, but we've been waiting for the Packers to put together a complete game all season long. The Dallas game was good. The Oakland game ended up being good. So they have done it. But you want to see that going into the latter part of the season. Aaron Rodgers, despite the fact that his stats weren't great tonight, Aaron Rodgers still led the offense, and he still completed. I mean, he hit Devontae Adams for 13 catches and over 100 yards. So that's taking what the defense gives you, because Devontae Adams was coming in out of the slot, which has been a great move. I love it. It's fantastic. And now that you can trust Alan Lazard on the outside, Jake Kumerow didn't have any catches tonight. Marquez Valdes-Scantling had a couple when he had to come into the game. But now that you've got guys on the outside that can handle it, you can move 17 inside. You've opened up a lot of things with this offense. So offensively, Matt LaFleur called a phenomenal game. We got to give credit to the head coach. He called a fantastic offensive game. The offense at the end of the first half was, I'm sure we're going to talk about, awful. And that was execution. You know, we laugh about the fact that they don't execute, and the comments is constantly, well, if they just execute properly, we do better. And everybody's so tired of it because everybody wants to think that this magical scheme is going to make everything happen. It's going to make the balls fall in everybody's hands. Nobody's going to fumble the ball. Nobody's going to drop the ball. Listen, there were drops. There were fumbles. It was sloppy early in this game. But the offense still did enough and what they needed to, and I think the running back might have had something to do with that. But they had a fantastic – I mean, all the phases really played well. Mason Crosby did miss a PAT, but he made all of his field goals. J.K. Scott kicked well. Tyler Irvin had a couple of good returns. The Packers needed this all-phases performance that they got tonight. The defense was balling out, ready to roll. And if we want to move to the offensive side of the ball now, because it was a laser light show by Aaron Jones. So if the Packers do have to go on the road at some point and they're going to play in warmer weather – I can tell you one guy who might not mind that. He seems to thrive in some good elements.
Yeah, Aaron Jones, I think, you know, a lot of people have been asking, Packers identity, and that's like the big buzzword. Packers don't have an identity, okay? I understand that just because it looks different than it has in recent years. That being said, maybe the Packers' identity is complementary, and that's something that a lot of people have talked about. Your guys over at T-Said Team, Corey Banky, a ton has talked about situational and complementary football, and the Packers really do a good job of it. They control the ball on offense more often. Their defense plays well. They stiffen up in the red zone. And their special teams, which had been a tire fight for the first three quarters of the season, really has played well in the last month of the year. They had a gaffe tonight. The last punt that they had two penalties on that, and they were both really bad. And Matt LaFleur said a phrase that got Jason to be calling all the single ladies. So that kind of made me laugh, too. But maybe that's their identity. Maybe their identity is they play good complementary football. And you know what? I kind of like that because I know something that's different about this team and something that makes me, and I've struggled to believe it as well. That's why I picked the Vikings to win tonight. Something that I think could make this team special is the fact that in past years, 2011, the Packers had a one-trick pony, and it was a hell of a trick. That passing game was phenomenal. What happened when the passing game pissed on itself in the playoffs? They went home. They couldn't win any other way. This Packers team can. They can suffocate you on defense. They can beat you on offense. So Aaron Rodgers has had great games here. He's had perfect passer rating type game that too. He's still capable of that. They're capable of grinding you out with a running game. Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. The Vikings running defense is a very good unit. And Jones and Williams, I mean, I know Jones had the big one. Williams had some nice runs. Looking at the numbers here, Jones had 154 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. Jamal Williams, 6 carries, 33 yards for 5.5 a clip. I mean, that's really good. Shocker there. Let's talk Aaron Jones, though, because that's really where it starts. I mean, he's the guy who – well, actually, I take that back. Before we get to Aaron Jones, I want to get to the first half because he's right that way. I kind of made the joke that the Packers' no-huddle offense has the sense of urgency of that of a cow being let out to pasture, because who's going to move that quick scenario? It was ugly, and then they have the ball. I think it was first and goal with 7 seconds left, and Aaron Rodgers calls a timeout to avoid a delay of game penalty, and – that kind of ruins the Packers' ability to run the ball in that situation. So it becomes a predictable scenario where the Packers have to throw the ball. Now, to their credit, they did get the play that worked. It worked. Adams was open. Rodgers threw it too far inside, and Adams dropped it. And this is where I think it's kind of funny, because both things can be true, guys. Adams should have caught the ball. Rodgers should have made a better throw. And that was something that was a little concerning tonight, was Rodgers' accuracy kind of came and went. And I even mentioned, I'm a little sick of his management. And what I mean by that is, so the timeout there, hurry the hell up. Like, you can't take a penalty in that spot. Or, excuse me, you can't take a timeout in that spot. That's the best thing that's going for you right there. So you've got to move. You've got to go. And if you're going to do that, then you have to execute on the very next play and pick yourself up for the mistake that you made. He didn't do it. Rodgers, we know it. He has a propensity to hold the ball, for better or for worse. His MVP seasons, he did it. He's doing it now. It is what it is. That's just who he is, okay? But when you run that hard play action and Robert Tonyan is blocking the other team's defensive end, the ball's got to come out. And it's basically, if your first read's not there, you got to look second read, and if it's not there, fling it out of bounds. Because taking a sack in that scenario is bad. I'm not saying he's
got to. Well, I was going to say last week, it reminded me of last week when Aaron Jones had to hold a block, and Aaron Rodgers, it's right in front of his face, and he's holding onto the ball too long. Now, listen. Nobody was open. It didn't look like anybody was open. Right. But so you're the victim of what you do there. But I do also think, Jake, I'll go back and watch the replay. I think that was an RPO, because Bakhtiari blocks run blocks. He blocks down, and that's why Tonyan has to pick up the end. So Rodgers checks into a pass. Nobody else knew it. He probably couldn't throw it. It was going to be an eligible man downfield. It was just a mess.
Yeah, a disaster. I mean, and that's troublesome. Stuff like that in the post, like. This offense is finding, and I know that, and a lot of young guys out there and a lot of undrafted receivers, a lot of young receivers that haven't played with the quarterback a lot, and they look to him. He's got to be the last person making those kinds of mistakes. Far too often, he is the person. That's troubling, but at the same time, I give Rodgers credit, because there's so many, I think a lot of it's unfounded, criticism of he won't take risks because he's worried about his numbers and everything looking great and his passer rating, and he cares about stuff. They're 12-3. The only thing he's ever said is he cares about winning. He'd be fine winning ugly all the way to the Super Bowl. And if the Packers do go to the Super Bowl, that's going to be something that is discussed over and over and over again, that he's okay with winning ugly all the way to Miami or where, somewhere in Florida, where the Super Bowl. I'm okay with that. But the sequence at the end of the half was piss poor. And that's something that, against a better team, the Saints, the San Francisco 49ers, and as far as teams that are in the NFC playoff picture, those are your two teams. We'll talk about this one through next week with Detroit, but the teams that worry me, if you will, the most are those, whether at home or where they play all that. But against teams like those, a sequence like that's going to get you beat, because that 4-point swing was a big deal. Now, to their credit, they came out and played well in the second half, and we'll get to that here in a minute. But Jason, any thoughts real quick on the final sequence there in the first half? Because really, the Packers' first half, it really was drives, stall out, kick field goal. This was a chance to score a touchdown, 13-10 before the half, and they didn't do it. They end up kicking a short field goal. I know what the math says. I understand the analytics. I get all that. But the problem is analytics doesn't account for how this game, and how this game is going, is points are hard to come by. And getting a goose egg there could be a big deal, because, okay, you're cutting a one-possession game to a one-possession game. I understand that. But this might be a game that has to be a 12-10 final. And if it has to be a 12-10 final, then that field goal right before the half is now, it didn't turn out that way. I know that there are situations where going for it and that's, you know, matters. The game against Carolina that you and I read, an example where I said I was cool with going for it. In this scenario, points a little harder to come by. So nonetheless, any thoughts on the end of the half sequence? Would you have gone for it on that fourth down, or not the, but the last play before the half? And what were your thoughts on the sequence of the timeout, the missed playoff?
Well, the Packers have been doing this all season long. It's kind of a microcosm of the season. The offense has been the sputtering thing. The defense has been a little bit more reliable. There have been a couple games where they didn't do either very well, but it's just another one of those things. I mean, they were up against it in U.S. Bank Stadium, and that crowd was loud again. You know, apparently there was apparently the Vikings played a video, or they had a picture of Aaron Rodgers walking off the field.
Big after shocker! The little brother has a freaking video of the highlight moment of their goddamn franchise, which is hurting the Packers quarterback, baby brother.
Unreal. Unreal. And so, I mean, they were up against it in a tough spot, and it's what they've had to do all season in overcoming this and that. Offensively, they just haven't gotten it done. So then Aaron Rodgers, but you know what? The other thing too was, despite it all, and as ugly as it was, because I think the hashtag of this season is ugly. You know, I mean, it's going to be the ugliest. We're going to be hoisting the ugliest Super Bowl championship in the game. And that comes after that crap box that we watched last year between the Patriots and the Rams. I mean, this is going to be the ugliest Super Bowl champion you've seen in a long time, but I could care less. The Lombardi Trophy just needs to come home, and that's obviously weeks away. But it was.
Aaron Jones is on SportsCenter right now. He's wearing his division champs hat over that sombrero. It is hilarious.
Well, and so there's also a picture of the linebackers in the locker room wearing the North is Not Enough t-shirts. Correct. So they know they won the division. But, you know, as has been said commonly, and we've said it several times on this show, folks, the Packers don't hang division banners in Lambeau Field. We don't hang division banners in Green Bay. So of course they do. Well, I mean, when you have to hang a banner of some sort. By the way, there's now been speculation by fans on Twitter who are not valid sources that Mike McCarthy may be on a plane to Minneapolis before too long. So
I can't handle that. No. Somebody listen. I might be the last Mike McCarthy supporter on earth, and that's fine. But no way.
Well, let's just get back to. I mean, Devontae still has to catch that ball. So my point was that despite the ugliness and the badness of it, Devontae still has to catch that ball, and he doesn't. And I said before we started recording, if we're grading on a curve, and it's Devontae, that's a drop, and he's got to make that catch. Was the pass thrown in the best spot? Was it a typical Aaron Rodgers throw that we're used to? No. Was it catchable? Yes. Did Devontae have a couple of rough moments? Yes, he did. He also made a couple of very, very key catches tonight. And I think what the Packers finally did on offense to transition it off of that sequence at the half, which was terrible, is they finally said, you know what, F it. We're in third and distance here. They finally were able to convert on third down tonight. And why, Jake? Because they finally got the ball in the hands of their best players. Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams got the football, and the rest was – Do the work. And what happened? Devontae Adams catches 13 balls for over 100 yards. Could have had a touchdown, didn't. Aaron Jones, over 150 yards rushing, 2 scores. I don't know. I think that formula works.
Looks that way. The second half starts. Both teams kind of trade punches for 3 and outs. And the big play, the turning point of the game. And I thought it was interesting because they showed on the broadcast the long view to where you could see the whole play. And Kirk Cousins was trying to dial up a touchdown play that they ran in week 2. To Stephon Diggs, and Alexander and King were both back there. The difference being this time, King made the interception, and it really was a turning point in the game. And listen, I've said this about King before. Is he as good as the people who want to believe in him think he is? No. Is he as bad as the could-have-drafted T.J. Watt people say he is? No, he's not that bad either. He had a great game tonight. The interception was really only part of it. He has some strange moments. There was a part in the game where he fell down covering Adam Thielen, and it could have been a huge play, but Thielen didn't catch the ball. Vikings fans will bitch and say it was pass interference. It's in close. Beside the point, anyways, after the interception, the Packers take the ball and methodically move, get in the red zone, make a couple plays, conversions on third down, and boom, it's a 12-yard touchdown to Aaron Jones. And stuff that won't show up in the box score is David Bakhtiari and Alan Lazard make seal blocks to get Jones on the edge and do what he does best. And frankly, Jason, that stuff where those are the things I've come to appreciate more and more is, you know, every week Matt LaFleur is talking about the little thing. And Lazard blocking on that play was one of them, for example. And it turns a 5-yard play into a 12-yard touchdown. And that's in a game like that, that's a big deal. The Packers go for two. They get it at 17-10. Little do we know at that point that was going to be enough to win the game. But Kevin King, again, making a turning point play on Kirk Cousins. If Kevin King ever gets a Pro Bowl nod or a big, nice contract extension, he should have to send some of that to Kirk Cousins. He keeps finding him with the ball. And today was another point of that. So kudos to Kevin King. I think, I haven't written, I don't write game balls, but if I did, he would certainly get one. Jason, I imagine he's going to get one on your end as well. But that's kind of how the second half started. And then it was really just waiting for a knockout punch. And the Packers, methodically, they had some chances. They would move the ball between the 40s, but not able to deliver a knockout blow. And then the play came, and it's something that I think is noticeable and something that Matt LaFleur does a good job of, is making a lot of, he called it the illusion of complexity. And there are really some times where some plays look the same, but they're different, or it forces linebackers to look opposite. And what happened before this play? Anthony Barr is hurt. Eric Kendricks is out for the game. And that was a big loss. Eric Kendricks is a huge loss. Part of the reason the Vikings defense is so good is because they're so strong. Harrison Smith still might be the best safety. Jason's buddy, Andrew Sandejo, is back there. Anthony Harris is a really good player. He intercepted Rodgers. But Kendricks and Barr make that defense really good because you have to respect them as blitzers when they give their mug looks, and they're fast enough to get back into coverage. What does LaFleur do as soon as Anthony Barr's replacement came with a replacement for Eric Kendricks? He tests their eyes right away, and he has Tyler Irvin come in motion, and it looks like a pop pass, which they had run earlier in the game, and they had run something off of that earlier as well. This time he runs a fake pop pass, and it's a handoff to Jones around the corner, a couple seals, and away he goes. And I just kept looking like I was waiting for him to get caught. And then he turned on the Jets, and he was gone. And I was scolded by my wife because I was doing a really good job of keeping quiet. That particular play woke the baby up. So my apologies to my child, but understand, I suppose it's better than when I scared her, because that sequence we talked about at the end of the first half caused me to throw my hat and broke a lantern that is in my house. I was not happy, but I was very happy after that play. And Jason, I mean, that play has some stuff leading up to it. So I mentioned the sequencing and how that play looks. But before that, they're picking up third downs. They're getting first down possession. I mean, I'll get the exact numbers here in just a second. But it was crazy throughout the course of that game. And, of course, the possession. I will have to look at the team stats here in a minute. And I'll look at that while I kick it to you here. But it was crazy to me how, you know, a backbreaker play. And as soon as that happened, Crosby, like, missing the extra point made me think, like, okay, they've opened the door just a teeny little bit. But that was one of those, like, I'm like, okay, that's the ball game. Like, there is no way the Vikings are coming back from this. And even if they have an opportunity, their defense is broken. That broke their spirit. And you could watch the air just kind of get sucked out of the building as Jones is celebrating in the end zone. And you can hear in that crappy stadium, go Pack, go, raining through the rafter, because we all knew it was over. The demon has been exorcised. The Packers have won in that building. Tell me a little bit about the sequencing that led up to that, and what are you thinking as Jones is dancing?
Well, momentum. And then shortly after that, the Vikings, I think you'd have to remind me on the timing of it, but shortly after that, the Vikings punt on fourth down.
Yeah, there were 3 minutes left, and they punted. I mean, it was fourth and 24, but even still, it was a concession.
That's the thing, is you're at home. You still have a very remote chance at improving your playoff standings, although the Vikings' road to that was much more difficult than Green Bay's road. And you do still have Stephon Diggs, who apparently the dude can get open in a phone booth. One of my favorite cliches out there. The dude can get open in a phone booth.
Real quick, Packers' time of possession was 37 minutes and 32 game. That's crazy.
That'll get it done. Yeah. That'll get it done. And when you're running the ball as well as Green Bay did, and you're winning up front, and your quarterback finally settles down, and you stop fumbling the damn ball, you're gonna make a lot of good things happen. Now, Kirk Cousins didn't have a particularly good game. You know, I mean, narratives are narratives, and from week to week, from season to season, things change. But for whatever it's worth, the Packers lucked out in getting Kirk on a Monday night, where he apparently just doesn't flourish as well under those lights. He has won night games before, just not on Monday night, and that continues. So the Packers benefited there, but I think they created that momentum at that point. You know, and Aaron Jones, I mean, I kind of remarked when he got around the edge, he just kind of started jogging a little bit. I don't know if there was, I mean, he was literally that far ahead, or the Vikings defense just did not have, you know, Kendricks not being in there is a huge loss. because Kendricks is a guy that'll get to the sideline and turn, you know, instead of a 56-yard touchdown run, it's probably maybe a 10-yard run, and Aaron Jones runs out of bounds.
Yeah, he's one of those dudes. He's not their best player. That's Danielle Hunter, Anthony Barr, Harrison Smith, guys like that. But he might be the most important. It's crazy how just something small like that. But it's those things that, you know, not to bring up bad memories, but like 2014 when Richard Sherman is playing with one arm and the Packers aren't attacking him as often as possible, that's something that Matt LaFleur has done a good job of. This team has done a good job finding weaknesses and exploiting them, finding matchups they like and exploiting them. And that's a big reason right now that they are your NFC North champions. And that's really what this game boils down to. Some final numbers here real quick. Aaron Rodgers' stat line, not all that sexy, quite frankly. I don't care about his numbers. I know Aaron Rodgers, and I'm a Packers fan. I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan. I'm not like the fans East Coast towards the Boston search a certain quarterback's name and call you out if you say he's anything less than the second Jesus Christ. So Rodgers, 26 of 40, 216 yards, one interception. He was sacked three. So not great. Aaron Jones, definitely the star of the night on offense. 23 carries, 154 yards, two touchdowns, that 56-yard backbreaker that we just mentioned. Excuse me. Devontae Adams, 13 catches, 116 yards. He did have the fumble, but he definitely made some clutch catches. Alan Lazard, I thought, and I'd have to look to be sure, but it felt like all of his catches, he's somebody who's emerging at least a little bit. I'm not going to say that this guy's going to be like the next Jordy Nelson, somebody like that for the team, but he's done some good things. Other than that, nobody else. Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones each had a couple. Packers minus two in the turnover margin. Mason Crosby, 3 for 3, over one on an extra point. Which really, that was the only thing that kept them going. Defense. this is the fun one. Kenny Clark, one sack, lived in the backfield, it felt like. Za'Darius Smith, 5 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks. He's a crazy person. Preston Smith had half a sack. Kevin King had the interception. It was dominance. You go to the other side of the ball, Kirk Cousins, 16 of 31, which oddly enough is the same exact completion to attempt. One touchdown pass, one interception. He was sacked 5 times and had a hilarious diving attempt. Vikings trying to run the Philly special, which, as my dad said, Nick Foles or Kirk Cousins is no Nick Foles. So the disrespect there was real. My dad likes hating on them. So I think maybe much that was like given to Mike Boone. 11 carries, 28 yards. Amir Abdullah, 4 carries, 27 yards. So he had a little more success, but really most of that came for 14 yards, which was a give-up draw play. The Packers, I mean, 15 carries for 55 yards. You take that. I mean, especially that's less than 4 yards a carry. Stephon Diggs, 3 catches, 57 yards, 1 touchdown. Adam Thielen, I mentioned, was a goose egg. What can you say?
And you know what's interesting? You know what else was interesting, too, was Adam Thielen's not fully healthy. He's got a hamstring issue, right? So he's still not 100% there. He came back last week. I think he caught 3 balls, didn't do much, didn't have any tonight. And the Vikings get down to the end, and it's 3rd and short. And instead of – I know you don't have Dalvin Cook out there, but you've got Kyle Rudolph, you've got Stephon Diggs. They throw a little short pass to Adam Thielen, who's basically playing on one leg. And the Packers easily stop him. I think that was the stop that led to the give-up punt, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, so the ball away, that, dropped it. Or
for as much as we want to throw shade at the Packers' offense and their play calling sometimes, there's other teams that have just as many brain farts. And to me, throwing the ball to Adam Thielen on one leg there, even Adam Thielen is looking at him like, dude, I can't pick up that yard afterwards. And there was just nothing that he could do. So
it was like 3rd and 4, and they ran a high school – the sequencing tonight, Mike Zimmer's a good coach. He had a really rough night. The punt there you mentioned, there was a 3rd and 4. They ran like an old high school counter play to Thielen, which that seems to be a play that I think is more suitable for Stephon Diggs if you do that, but whatever. Right. And then on 4th and 1, they try to draw the Packers off sides, burn a timeout in a 17-10 game. I will never understand these coaches not understanding that a timeout is more valuable than 5 freaking. Matt LaFleur did this later in the game. It drives me batshit, but not a great night for Mike sequencing there. It was all strange. And then Salty Zimmer after the game, I got to tell you, there's a video going around now on Twitter. Check it out. I'll see. But if Matt LaFleur and the handshake from Zimmer, he doesn't make eye contact. It's like real quick and he walks away. Salty Zimmer is funny. But that being said, on Thielen, you know, you're mentioning that he's not healthy. He's on one leg. I don't know how much I buy that for now, because Dalvin Cook didn't play, and Alexander Mattison, it seemed like, was a precautionary, well, you know, we're in the playoffs, and so we'll just take some things as a precaution. If that's the case, Adam Thielen wouldn't have played tonight. So I think his health is fine. I think that he just had some reservations with Jaire Alexander. And as my good friend Ivan Carter, at Ivan Carter 9, my favorite Vikings fan tied with Eric Thompson, would say, Kirk was checking down before he got out of And it's true to a point. I mean, there are plays that you can see, like, there are plays to be made when they show the all view of everything, and Kirk was too busy throwing to his check down. Now, granted, those are some of the things that, again, they don't show up on the stat sheet, but when you're getting pressure, it felt like every play the Packers lived in the Vikings' backfield. Those are small things that add up. It's very similar to the way the Giants were able to beat up Tom Brady. They didn't sack him on every play, but they were in his face. They were in his chest on every single play, and he started to tap dance. And Tom Brady is the, for all the times that I make fun of him, he is the most cool under pressure quarterback that I have ever seen personally. And for him to be tap dancing like that, I mean, those are things that they add up over time, and it added up tonight. Kirk Cousins is kind of shaky anyways. I should have known better. I would like to apologize to Packers Nation on behalf of my foolishness for picking not only the Vikings to win, but for them to blow Green Bay out. I am wrong about this team. I have been wrong about this team for most of the year. My negativity got the best of me, and the Packers gave me an early Christmas giant helping of crow. And Jason, real quick, we're gonna jump here. First, I'll give you some final thoughts on the Vikings, but we are going to jump in and preview the Lions game now because of what it means. And it's Christmas week, guys, so we're going to put it all together right now. Jason's got a little boy. I've got plenty of obligations now, too, so I don't want to be jumping all around. We want to give you guys everything. So, Jason, final thoughts on the Vikings here. The Packers, ultimately, at the end, it matters the most. This, they are their 2019 NFC North champions, first time 2000.
Yeah, I mean, they played the game that, like I said earlier, they played the kind of game they needed to tonight. They put it together in all phases, and if they're going to do that now, why not? They can't brain fart next week against the Lions. If they do, that's absolutely catastrophic. It's, I guess, possible. But, you know, again, the three losses that they've had so far this season came against teams that at the time were not garbage. They were playing well, and the 49ers are still in contention for that number one seed. So I would have to say they've taken care of business when they needed to. Getting a big win on the road against a team you've never beaten in this building, you haven't gone to the playoffs the last 3 years, and incidentally, the last time the Packers went to the playoffs, they clinched the division. Either if they didn't clinch the division on Christmas Eve, they knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs on Christmas Eve, and that was 3 years ago, the last time they made the playoffs. And we all know that was right in the midst of their table run. They went all the way to the NFC Championship game. So the Packers are peaking at a good time right now. I don't necessarily know that they need a bye week, but let's not take any chances. And I think, you know, an extra week of rest, and as long as everyone's got their game face on, and I think if there's one guy that's going to remind everybody to do the right thing and carry the G, if they have a week off before their first playoff game, you got some young players that haven't been in this position before. If there's one guy that can taste his piece of Packers history, it's Aaron Rodgers. He's going to let everybody know if we get a bye week, which is still very possible, the Packers win next week. If they beat the Detroit Lions next week, they are no worse than the second seed, and they will get a week off. It's huge. And I think this team is focused. Like I said, they came in focused. They had to do what they had to do. They made a believer out of both of us. We both didn't pick the Packers to win this game, and for good reasons. We had our reasons. I had a closer score than you did. I don't blame you for thinking, hey, listen, this is the space where the Packers kind of brain fart. You know, I kept joking and saying, hey, this is 2002. I think you said this was 2002 when the Packers going into week 17 had a chance to beat the Jets and get the number one overall seed. They lost. They ended up becoming the third seed, and that ended up costing them dearly. The following week, they lost the playoffs and got knocked out at Lambeau Field for the first time ever at Lambeau Field by the Atlanta Falcons. So this Packers team can do anything. They can do anything, and they can beat anybody. You put the 49ers out there in San Francisco, Kittle over the middle is going to be a problem, but they'd have to figure out a way to make that work. I'll take my chances against an opponent for the second time. So as far as the Vikings go, F it. The only thing we need to say is the NFC North Division champions, and let's enjoy the hell out of this victory. And I can tell you right now, Jake, I'm just saying on the show, I personally would absolutely be available and down to do a full and more comprehensive Lions preview later this week if you want to. But if we want to get into any of that now, we certainly can.
Yeah, okay. So then we can do that. Let's jump into just some early thoughts then real quick. The Lions, they'll play Detroit. Yeah, they do. He's not wrong. The Lions are one of the worst teams in the NFL. They're beat up. Green Bay came out of this game. Jason was earlier. Jamal Williams had a shoulder, did not, and Will Redmond had a hamstring severity on the Jamal Williams one could be like a sneaky big injury just because he does do some really good things for this offense. As much as people would like to say, just give the ball to Jones all the time, you can't do that. Aaron Jones isn't built for that kind of beating throughout the course of a game like that. So plus you want to keep him fresh now going into the postseason. And this game is big just because it is a potential letdown. Short week, going on the road again, after a huge emotional win in a shitbox that you've never won in. Now you're going to a building where Green Bay hasn't won. The last time Green Bay won in Detroit, if memory serves, was 2016 when they ran the table. It was week 17. The Lions have had some fun picking on the Packers week 17 the last 2 years, kicking them while they're down kind of thing. I think it's time to return the favor. They'll be playing a third string quarterback. They'll be playing a bad head coach and a not very good defense. This should be a recipe for a Green Bay comfortable win, and it would really be nice to get one of those comfortable wins, get some guys out early, preserve your health, stuff like that. But that being said, the challenge for Matt LaFleur and the leadership committee in the Packers locker room is to get them ready for this game, because that's a big deal. It's essentially like a playoff game, guys. If you win this game, you're on to the second round. And you can let the chips fall where they may. If you win that game, you have a chance to be the number one seed in the NFC and not have to play on the road at all. But at minimum, you're the two seed if you win. And if you're the two seed, I like my chance. I like Green Bay's chances at home really against anybody. I'm not saying that they'll beat everybody. I'm not saying that I would pick them to win those games. But I do think that Green Bay definitely has a better chance of their 7-1 at home this year. As of right now, they're 6-2 on the road.
Well, and they have not lost a divisional game yet either.
No. So, and 6-2, I'm bad at math. They're 5-2. If they go 6-2, they'll be 13-3. That's what the math adds up to. That would be the best Packers finish since 15-1 in 2011. It's a game that it's very simple. You know, we talk about it, Jason. We talked about it with the Washington. We talked about it with the Chicago Bears. Good teams make their layups, and that's really what the Packers need, their layups. Your good friend, Matthew Prater, Green Bay's up this time around. So that's really what this game comes to. But what, in all seriousness, jokes aside, what do you think is the biggest challenge right now for this Packers team? Because, like I said, it's Monday. It's 11:30. They play Detroit at noon on the road. So the Packers are kind of at a disadvantage from that standpoint. But ultimately, I mean, like you said, the Lions suck. So they need to beat a team that sucks.
The defense. It's going to come out of the defense. Keep the offense out of the end zone. If they keep the Lions out of the end zone, they're going to win this game. Doesn't matter. I don't care how bad the Packers offense is. The defense does an adequate job against what is going to be a backup quarterback and an offense that – and listen, the Lions have already said – they've already told their GM and their head coach they're back next year. Matt Patricia does not need a coach for his job this game. There's nothing to prove other than bragging rights, and I'm sure that he wants to win. He's from the Belichick tree, and so they'll probably do everything they can to win. So everybody will be watching for video cameras in Green Bay this week. But there isn't anything to gain, and the Lions actually at this point right now – are doing what we hate to do, and we hate when other fans do when the Packers were bad these last two seasons, which is hope that they lose games on purpose so that their draft pick is better. And I do think that the Lions actually, at this point, given their history, probably are trying to position themselves for one of those top five picks.
Yeah, so they
get picked. So in order to get that, I just want to remind the Detroit Lions that in order to do that, you cannot win this game on Sunday. Right. You must lose this game. I don't care if Tim Boyle starts and finishes this game. You cannot – you cannot allow yourself to beat the Green Bay Packers by mistake. So that's the only thing that I'll say, and I'll tell you right now, Aaron Rodgers struggled tonight. He threw a pick, and it was the most legitimate pick that Aaron Rodgers has thrown probably in the last two seasons. It didn't bounce off of a receiver. It was a legitimate, you know, fooling of Aaron Rodgers, and it's a rare moment in his career that you're going to see. But he still came back and threw some balls up there and gave his receivers chances. He didn't shut down and play scared. And I'd like to think that he got it out of his system. And you're not going to see Darius Slay or anybody wrecking the game next week. So as long as the defense can get off the damn field and keep the Lions out of the end zone, I don't care if McTubovich has 18 field goals in that game, which is only going to, which is still only going to equate to what, 48 points, was that 54 points? The Packers will still score 55, guaranteed.
There you have it. Yeah, I think – I mean, I'm not expecting them to only give up 7 first downs, easy like that. But, I mean, it's a game the Packers should win. I think that's – I mean, and we'll talk more about it later in the week. Jason said he's down, so that's cool. We'll talk more about it later in the week. But, like Jason said, it's a game the Packers should win, and it really is that simple. The Packers should win. It's a bad team. I don't care that it's on the road. I don't care that they have time advantages. I don't care that it could be a hangover game. There's no room for hangovers, because the difference between potentially being the one and then having to play Minnesota again on wild card weekend is huge. That's a huge difference. It's really hard to beat a team three times in one. I know it would be Kirk Cousins in a play at Lambeau Field, but I'd rather have the bye week. quite frankly. 29 of the last 38 Super Bowl participants had a bye week. So I like my chances there. And I like the odds of even if Green Bay, the two, there is still a chance that they end up hosting that NFC championship because that would require the one seed. Well, it can't be. San Francisco has shown, I mean, they've lost to Atlanta. They're beatable. I know Green Bay played like shit against them, but they're a beatable team. There's a chance that Minnesota would, or San Francisco could lose to a Minnesota, a Philadelphia, a Dallas. Maybe not Philadelphia or this, but Seattle again, if they had to play them a third time. I mean, it's very simple, guys. Win the damn game. And frankly, like I said, I know I said it would be nice if they could get it like 31-3 and sit some guys out and all that stuff. I don't care if it's 10-7. Like, win the game and make sure that you get that week. Huge difference. I can't stress that enough. I know Matt LaFleur is going to do that because he really, honestly, he has done a good job with it through most of the year. But that doesn't matter right now. What matters right now is the Green Bay Packers, for the first time since 2016, are your NFC North champions. It's a great feeling. It's the first time they've clinched a division before the last week of the season since 2012. That's crazy because they'd had a couple Week 17 wins that time frame in the division. So that's big. It's a huge win. It's a game they didn't expect to win, and now Green Bay's in the driver's seat. They control their own destiny for a first-round bye Sunday at noon against the Detroit Lions, and we'll talk about that more later in the week. Jason, I want to wish you, your family, all of our listeners, all of our viewers a very happy holiday season. Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas. I really don't care what you celebrate. I want you to be happy about it. That's the big thing here. I want you guys to have a happy time with you and your family. It's my wife and my family's first Christmas, so that'd be cool for my daughter. I'd also want to send thoughts, prayers, all that kind of stuff. I have a friend, Shay, and she was diagnosed for cancer. So if you guys have a moment in your spare time, go ahead and good thoughts, prayers her way as well. On that somber note, that's a great, good job there. Packers win the NFC North. Follow the show. That's we've got way over on time today, so the emotion's been good. The Packers are NFC North champions, as I mentioned. I keep saying that because I really don't get tired of saying after 2 years conceding this division and allowing the Vikings and Bears to win it a couple times, it's been a really nice year to everyone in this division who their daddy is. And the Packers have a chance to sweep the authority that all the crap from the last couple years, that's done, that's gone, that's over with, it's ours again. And the North runs through that green and yellow team in Northeast Wisconsin, Chicago, not in Minnesota. Detroit's a laughable thought and concept that's never going to happen anyways, so it's not even a big deal. Check out the show on Twitter. It's at Packer Pulse. Check out Jason. He's at Jason Perrone. Even though I called him stupid today, I guess he did point out that I have willingly agreed to have him as my co-host now for 4 seasons. The Packers are going back to the playoffs. And right now, this is the team that – this would be the first team that has a bye and a chance like that to get our first season together.
Okay, so who's the dummy now? This is actually our 5th season, everybody. Okay, math is hard.
Counting is strong, too. there you go. Counting is not a strong – whatever. Nonetheless, this is the best team that we've ever covered for you. Chance to finish 13-3. That's a big deal. Follow me. I'm at Jacob Westendorf. Follow Work She Said TE, Packer Report, all kinds of different stuff going on here. Ultimately, again, for the final time, NFC North champions, Darius Smith is a mine. Good night, and go Pack, go.
Of the Pack Podcast.